It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo is questioned by the Senate. Of course, if they were really serious about it, they would have had him questioned by his proposed replacement as CIA director. You know, torture lady. This is Forward Nation Radio. You don't have to whip us to make us speak, and I am David Leventhal. Thank you for joining us this week. On today's show, Russia, the swamp, the media swamp, and maybe the judiciary, and a listener question before we get through. But anyway, starting right in, there is so much to talk about this week. Starting, of course, with the Russia probe. Trump apparently is absolutely insane about it, apoplectic, going nuts about what's going on with his lawyers, quote unquote, offices, house, etc., with the papers that were seized during with the search warrant. It's being leaked that this is about campaign finance violations, as we've talked about from the very beginning. The payouts to Stormy Daniels and others would seem to violate campaign finance laws. That being said, I don't believe it. I don't believe that this is about campaign finance violations. Maybe it will be. And I don't mean to minimize the import of campaign finance violations. But this country has long minimized the import of campaign finance violations. We have a Federal Election Commission whose job it is to enforce campaign finance violations. The Federal Election Commission does absolutely nothing. By law, it is split between three Republican appointees and three Democratic appointees. The Republican appointees have made it clear that they will do absolutely nothing with regard to enforcing campaign finance laws. Again, not to minimize campaign finance violations, it's really hard to imagine that that's what this is about, that this is not more serious, in part because of getting a sense of who Michael Cohen is, and we know who Donald Trump is, and what an extraordinary criminal. We've all said and known from the very beginning that if they start looking into this guy's finances, he's in a shitload of trouble. And they are looking into his finances. So we just got through Trump's effort to suppress the search warrant and to ask for the materials back, saying, we will look through it and we will voluntarily disclose whatever is appropriate, as if it were a subpoena. But there is a reason that the U.S. Attorney's Office in this case did not issue a subpoena. And that reason, undoubtedly, is because they know what crooks they are dealing with, and they do not trust that the documents that they are looking for will be deleted, destroyed, or otherwise hidden. It is remarkable in this country that we now have a tutorial on attorney-client privilege. We are learning more about attorney-client privilege than I learned in law school, or as an attorney, for that matter. And we are now at the point where we're looking at what the U.S. Attorney's Office, Justice Department, has done and how they are trying to make sure that the material that they find and might want to use in future trials has not been spoiled or tainted by information that was privileged, that was uncovered by the team. And that's why we've learned that there is such a thing as a taint team. That's right, a taint team that they send in beforehand. What does a taint team do? Well, in this case, clearly, the job of the taint team is to look for the connection between the scrotum and the asshole. I hope we've got those pictures of Trump and Cohen here, all right? We got to go look for those pictures. That's a taint joke. I hope some of you know what the taint is. But anyway, yes, taint team goes in there and makes that connection. Anyway, Speaking of Sean Hannity, Michael Cohen, thug number one in our scenario. Yes, Michael Cohen has three legal clients. Legal, quote unquote. Because it doesn't sound like he does a whole lot of lawyering. He sounds like he's basically a thug. Maybe a business consultant. Maybe a leg breaker. He's a guy who envisions himself as Tom Hagen, the Robert Duvall character in The Godfather, but like the rest of them is pretty much Fredo. Go watch The Godfather movie. Oh, wait. Anyway, his three legal clients, this class act, Trump, Elliot Bridey, who we've talked about before, and it turns out, drumroll please, Sean Hannity, who is client number three, not a client, is a client, not a client. He's my lawyer, but I'm not his client. I don't know. We'll get this sorted out sometime around. Never. This is really once again demonstrating the prison to Republican finance chair pipeline. That's right, Elliot Bridey, who had been convicted of bribery, and then after that conviction, became the Republican finance chairman. And then, actually, that was a position even higher than what Michael Cohen achieved. Because it turns out he only rose to the level of vice chair, vice finance chair of the Republican Party. Sound a little bit like a criminal organization to you? A little bit. But we've also found out that Elliot Bridey, when he's not necessarily accepting bribery payments, is using those bribery payments to pay off, in this case, Playboy models. Apparently, he made a $1.6 million payment through Michael Cohen to a Playboy model. $1.6 million? That's more than 10 times what Trump paid. What did this guy do to them? What does this NDA manage to say? This, of course, is what Michael Cohen specializes in. Non-disclosure agreements. We've talked about non-disclosure agreements in the past on this show, and all the more reason that non-disclosure agreements should be unenforceable per se. That's it. They're basically designed to get other people involved in a criminal conspiracy to allow someone to continue conducting fraud or criminal activities against somebody else. But I'm sure that's not what Sean Hannity was involved with Michael Cohen. Oh no, Hannity denies it. Okay, just kidding, yeah. Who gives a shit what Sean Hannity says? Because of course, Sean Hannity is a born liar. Sean Hannity has pointed out that this is absolutely insane, all this media speculation about his relationship with Michael Cohen. Wait, I'm sorry. He described the media speculation that he might have been a client of Michael Cohen as absolutely insane before we found out that he was a client of Michael Cohen. To which we ask ourselves, is Schadenfreude wrong? Is it a bad thing to take pleasure in other people's misery? No. When those other people are Sean Hannity, Donald Trump, Michael Cohen, in other words, the scum of the earth, the absolute swamp-dwelling garbage on the planet, it is right to root for their comeuppance. It is right to root for some justice in the world, and justice means criminals and scumbags eventually pay the price. So keep paying attention to this. Do you remember some time ago when you used to say about someone who is really, really popular, who is really in vogue, you would say, that guy's a rock star. Say, wow, that guy, he's a rock star right now. Oh, the good old days. We've got Jim Comey now, who is so popular, we won't say, that guy's a rock star. We'll say, that guy's a porn star. That guy's Stormy Daniels. That's how hot that guy is right now. Yes, in America, being a porn star is more of a claim to fame than being a rock star. You know, Jim Comey, the former head of the FBI, or as our president has tweeted, slippery, not smart, leaker, liar. Or, who has said of Donald Trump, serial liar, stain on the presidency and the country, morally unfit to be president. You know, just the kind of public fight you normally have between the president of the United States and the former director of the FBI, the guy who got him the presidency, let's not forget. I'm not a big fan of Jim Comey. I think he's a little self-serving, a little pretentious. But he's about 20 leagues above the piece of shit who's in the White House right now. And if you're going to believe someone, seriously, you're going to believe the pathological liar? Speaking of Donald Trump and what a low-life piece of garbage he is, Scooter Libby. Let's take a moment to talk about Scooter Libby. Some of you might have heard that Donald Trump pardoned Scooter Libby. To which, of course, you responded, who the hell's Scooter Libby? Scooter Libby was an aide to the vice president during the Bush administration when the Bush administration was outing an undercover CIA agent. They were outing an undercover, technically a clandestine CIA agent, which was one notch below. They were outing this clandestine CIA agent because her husband had the temerity to tell the American public that the Bush administration lied to get us into a war. Interesting. How were those lies spread? Well, turns out Scooter Libby was having sex with New York Times reporter Judith Miller and whispering sweet lies into her ear, which she was duly printing without checking, without confirming, and when she wasn't supposed to be on the story. We've talked about this before. Judith Miller then took her journalistic ignominy to the doghouse. In other words, she parlayed it into a lucrative career at Fox News. Scooter Libby went to prison for refusing to testify as to who outed the undercover CIA agent. Highest form of treason, according to George Bush's father, the former President Bush. So by pardoning Scooter Libby, Donald Trump is doing a couple different things. One, he's making sure to tell America, this is my kind of guy. Your loyalty, as we know from his conversation with Jim Comey, is not to America. It is to me. It is to the president. Once again, this is the personality cult that has rocked the Republican Party and has ended up with someone like Trump. All about me, not about the country. This is the kind of guy I like. But of course, really the pardon for Scooter Libby is to tell all of his underlings, don't worry, I'm going to pardon you too. If you rally around your felon of a president, I will rally around you and I will pardon you. This message came clear when Donald Trump during the week just happened to make a call to Michael Cohen after this whole thing was going down just to check in. Yo, dude, how's it going? What's up? Maybe a little bit of conversation. Remember who I am? Remember what you owe me? Remember how lucrative it will be if you keep quiet and I pardon you? As we've talked about before, come on, Eric Schneiderman. There is no question that part of the chess game that's going on here, and when I say chess game, I mostly mean from the special counsel, because the Trump team apparently doesn't have the ability to play checkers, let alone chess. But they are moving this to places where Donald Trump can't pardon people. And hopefully when the New York Attorney General has a conversation with Michael Cohen or Paul Manafort or whomever and says, we've got you on state charges that will give you 30 years to life, and Trump can't pardon you from those. This is what's going on in America right now as the President of the United States tries to cover up his criminal activities. That's where we've gotten to. So anyway, the Democrats have been seeking a congressional bill to protect the special counsel. Congress can just do that by passing a bill. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, I see no need for such a bill. I see no need. Mitch McConnell doesn't see anything unless it's colored green. Or maybe gold. I don't know. Except, of course, he sees criminal activities from his political opponents all the time. But he doesn't see a need to protect the special counsel. But maybe the best comment on this was from Republican Representative John Kennedy, who said the president is too smart to fire the independent counsel. Too smart? You want to go with that one to describe Donald Trump? You decided not to go with too ethical? Not that one? You went with too smart. Okay, that's a good one. Oh boy, the special counsel's in trouble. What will the Republicans do about Trump's efforts to impede the investigation once they occur? Well, that will be determined in time. They don't want to pass a bill because they need to check and see which way the wind is blowing. They need to do their polls and find out how their people are coming down on this one. We don't need a bill to protect the special counsel. We need a bill to protect the country. We need a bill to protect the country from the scumbag political party that's running it right now, lock, stock, and barrel. Which, by the way, brings us to Syria in our Russia discussion. Donald Trump drew a red line on Syria. And when he draws a red line, he stands by it. Do you all get where that's coming from? Obama had drawn a red line on Syria and then went to Congress for permission to bomb Assad. Didn't do it. Obama's weak. So Trump draws a red line and he sticks to it. He defends it. Except, as UN ambassador for now, Nikki Haley has pointed out, Assad has used chemical weapons more than 50 times. According to public sources, more than 200 times. Many of those during the Trump administration. Is it possible that this bombing is a bit of a red herring? Watch the movie Wag the Dog. Look up Grenada and Ronald Reagan on Google. Interesting to note, remember the adults in the White House? Remember the grown-ups who are going to protect us from the whims of a crazy president? We've got one adult left. That's Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. Everybody else has been replaced by a certified jackass. And guess what? It turns out the adult said we shouldn't be doing what Trump did. We shouldn't be bombing Syria the way we did. You know what we should do? We should go to Congress. Wow, that Obama guy has got to be on the way out. Was it a success what we did? Well, according to the Pentagon, it was a success. According to Donald Trump, it was a success. Wow, that's got to be good enough for me. Wait, I want to hear what Fox News says. It'll be official if Fox News says it was a success. Because that's about how much you can trust what the Pentagon says and what President Trump says. But we do know that Donald Trump will follow up with sanctions against the Russian companies that were involved. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. What day is today? I guess today we're not imposing sanctions, right? Yes, no, whatever. Such is the thoughtful consideration of the President of the United States. Turns out our UN ambassador is confused when she stated the administration position a couple days ago that we would be imposing sanctions on Russian companies. To which the UN ambassador, possibly seeing a way out of this mess and a way to distance herself from these criminals to preserve her future political career, said, I don't get confused. Assholes. Okay, she didn't actually say the asshole. She was just thinking that part. So now we're officially at Nikki Haley watch and Jim Mattis watch to see who's potentially going to be the next to exit the Trump administration, willingly or unwillingly. But one thing we do know, a According to The Huckster, the president has been clear that he's going to be tough on Russia, but at the same time, he'd still like to have a good relationship with them. Okay, in one Forward Nation radio show, I managed to quote Trump, Hannity, and The Huckster. Three things, of course, I've said that I would never do other than for comic relief, since they are such pathological liars that there's really not any reason to point out anything that they say. Trump, constancy? Yeah, that's the word that immediately comes to mind, if not intelligence, intellect, when one thinks of Donald Trump. Constancy. Like how he announced this week that he's reconsidering the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as he's been reconsidering NAFTA, reconsidering DACA, reconsidering Syria. I don't know what's to be considered. If it's to be considered, it's to be reconsidered a few minutes later. What are Fox and Friends saying today? I don't know. Let's look, because that will form the opinion tomorrow.
And do you think that the Trump supporters are going to have as long enough memory to realize that these were huge talking points of his time and time again on the campaign trail in 2016?
It is really remarkable that apparently one of the hallmarks of a Trump supporter is to not be able to hold a thought in your head for more than a few moments at a time. That basically what he said to you yesterday and you cheered like crazy. And then today he says the exact opposite and you cheer like crazy.
This is how cults work.
This is how cults work. Go back to our show. We should look that up and allude to this. I don't remember the show. That was a great show way back in the very beginning. We were doing this Forward Nation Radio when we started. We were back in the old radio station. Our show on cults was a great show. It was a great show. We should go put that up, because boy, are we seeing evidence of cultism.
And if it walks like a cult.
Walks like a cult, talks like a cult, and mindlessly enthuses like a cult, maybe it's a cult.
Must have drank the Kool-Aid.
Must have drank the Kool-Aid. Yeah, we explained that Jim Jones reference way back when. Let's be clear, by the way, about Donald Trump. There is one thing that Donald Trump has actually been constant on. One thing in his presidency. And that is not being tough on Russia. That is the one thing he has been consistent on his entire presidency. Consistently tough on Russia? Give me a break. Let's be clear, by the way, what we are talking about here. The sanctions in question are on Russian companies that have been assisting Syria's chemical weapons program. That's what we are talking about. Companies that have been assisting the madman, despotic dictator of Syria in developing chemical weapons that he is using to murder his own people. We can't even decide that we should impose sanctions on those companies. What a disgrace. Anyway, moving on to Swamp Watch, briefly, because we haven't yet discussed enough swamp creatures. What's come up this week in Swamp Watch? Well, we've got Mick Mulvaney. Remember? The disputed head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, whose leadership is still going to be determined by a court. Gutting the agency, but it turns out, overpaying his friends to work for the agency. He has no problem with that. Asked how many enforcement actions he has initiated since he took over, he answered zero. None. Keep in mind that his predecessor, Richard Cordray, got back $12 billion to wronged consumers who'd been ripped off by fraudulent financial companies. Our new head of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, I guess they're now trying to rename it Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection so consumer doesn't come first. I think that's actually true. He points out that regulation by enforcement is done. That sounds wonderful, but what the fuck does that mean? How else do you regulate if you don't enforce? Hey, we've got rules against bank robbery, but we have fired all the policemen. What does that even mean? We might have regulations out there, but hey, criminals, we're not enforcing any of them, so go ahead and steal from consumers. Steal from military veterans. Steal from students. Yeah, this is draining the swamp. So that brings us to Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, who also made some news, not a lot this week. Ryan Zinke, you may know, has been on a crusade, probably the right term, to open up public land to private interests, to sell off public land. In fact, he has presided over the largest reduction in federal land protection in United States history, except in Montana, except in his home state. Because what's good enough for fucking the rest of America is not good enough for fucking Montanans, because he aspires to political office in Montana when he's done. They are all full of shit. That's the bottom line. They are all full of shit. Speaking of full of shit, Media Watch, propaganda, Sean Hannity. Let's not overlook this. This man is basically using his platform on Fox News to sell real estate he owns secretly. He's out there plugging Michael Cohen, talking about how wonderful he is, speaking out against the investigation, railing against the search warrant issued against Michael Cohen, without managing to mention that it's his documents that are being unearthed. Just think about that for a moment. Any legitimate news source would be scandalized and fire him. People say it'll be interesting to see what Fox News does. No, it won't. Not unless his advertisers flee, because Fox News is busy going, what are you talking about? We're fucking Fox. What do you want from us? Of course we're full of shit. You're just finding that out now? This is the impact when we talk about Fox, Sinclair, right-wing radio, the takeover of media in America. David Pecker, aptly named, the CEO of AMI, who owns the National Enquirer, who buys stories to bury them. This is propaganda. This is lying to the American public. This is the predecessor for QAnon, which it turns out is a front for Anonymous. Politics does indeed make strange bedfellows, that the anarchic organization, such as it is, what I understand, Anonymous isn't organized enough to be called an organization. This is now in league with the Republican Party. This is apparently popping up on our YouTube channel. The Denver Post being bought by Alden Global Capital, representing vulture capitalism. You go in to take over media properties, to spread propaganda for as long as you can, then to gut the properties, steal from them, feed yourself, and destroy them, leaving an empty carcass behind. This is vulture capitalism, Republican style. I want to talk about the judiciary, but we've run a little bit out of time. I've gone a little bit over. I will come back to the judiciary next week, I promise, whatever else happens. But I do want to, before we leave, I want to quickly take a listener question and end with that. My question is, in this day and age in New York City, what is the significance of a lawyer sacrificing himself in a Buddhist manner for climate change? What do you think was his motive beyond the surface? I.e. depression or hatred towards being a part of humanity? And with this event passing, what do you think the future holds? From Thomas from Queens. Thank you for your question, Thomas. Thomas, of course, is referring, for those of you who might be outside the New York area, to an attorney by the name of David Bakel. Sorry, I may have mispronounced that. I'm not sure how to pronounce it because I've never heard anybody use his name publicly. A man who, by all accounts, seems to be the kind of attorney that this country needs more of, i.e., not a Michael Cohen. An actual attorney standing up for the disadvantaged and fighting for the rule of law, not a thug. David Bakel made a career out of fighting for the rights of disadvantaged gays, and then turned his interests to fighting for environmental rights. Earlier this week, he killed himself by setting himself on fire in a Brooklyn park. So what do I think of this, and what are the lessons? I would like to believe that Mr. Bacall has not died in vain. I don't believe that, unfortunately. And I don't really think that that's the message we should be giving. We have too many suicides in this country. I don't want to say appreciate. I guess there's some nobility, perhaps, in what David Bacall did to try to draw attention to a cause that he felt was a hopeless cause. And I guess there is some precedent for this working. I talk about Mohamed Bouazizi in Tunisia, a street vendor who also self-immolated, but who became the symbol of the Tunisian uprising, one of the real successful uprisings of the Arab Spring. Unfortunately, even with the reference to Buddhists, many of whom self-immolated to protest the Vietnam War, and some of whom became media sensations for a little while, the history of killing yourself for a cause is not a good one. I would argue that, unfortunately, as noble as his ideals were, clearly Mr. Bacall was suffering from some mental illness. I don't believe that you do that and as a sane thing to do. And I don't think anybody out there should even consider doing such things. Or even worse, as more evil people do, take a whole bunch of people with them. What I'd like to see the David Bacalls of the world do is fight, is vote, is fight to change and address the evil that they see in the world. And that's, of course, fundamentally what we ask of our viewers. Be informed. Be active. On social media, at rallies, with your friends, register people to vote. Vote. Change things. Because if we've gotten to the point where we have no option other than to set ourselves on fire, we've acknowledged that the world is going to shortly follow us. And most of us refuse to accept that kind of a result. So don't give up for your cause, fight for it. Anyway, that's today's show. Thank you for joining us. You should quit Facebook, but if you don't, like us as many times as you can before you quit. Get your friends to like us. Go to forwardnationradio.com, please. Check out the full experience there. Look at some of the stuff that we are putting up beyond the show. Go to forwardnationradio.com, get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Join QAnon on our YouTube channel. Don't miss our next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean.
Let's not join QAnon.
Join QAnon on YouTube. Don't actually join QAnon. Thanks for making me clarify that.
Let's not do anything with QAnon.
Let's not do anything with QAnon other than laugh them away. Troll them for a change. Check us out on Podbean. If you love what you know, I have enough problems reading this without the damn interruptions. You think I'd remember this. If you like what you heard, again, and you're going to spend some of your damn time on Facebook, please like us there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio, thanks for joining us. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.